Farmer.
Howdy.
What's going on, Craig?
Yep, back there we've got Craig in the booth. What's up, Craig? I wanted to start, well, first, I guess I have two topics, one of which I know nothing about and one of which I know something about. Which one would you guys like to cover?
Oh, the nothing, obviously.
The nothing. That'd be great. What about you, D? You want to go sure, with the nothing?
Yeah. Let's go that, yeah.
The nothing is, actually, I'm going to ask because I know someone here does know something about it. Was there anything interesting announced at the State of Play? Wasn't that last week?
That was last week.
I didn't hear anything from it. I heard it was a thing. I didn't hear anything from it, so.
The biggest thing was that the Returnal Studio is doing another game called Seros, which looks really cool from like the little bit that they showed, but that was pretty much it. Otherwise, like, they had a trailer for Borderlands 4. I think there was a Days Gone remaster was announced.
They had a trailer for Borderlands 4, a game that Borderlands, a franchise that hasn't been relevant for like 10 years. Wow.
And Days Gone, like, we're already at a remaster of Days Gone. Yeah. That's crazy.
Sonic Racing has a new game coming called Cross Worlds.
That'd be kind of cool. I like Sonic games. I don't mind.
Sonic Racing? Is it like a game where Sonic Racing. What is that? Is that a game
you
where
never
you drive
the 360
in cars?
Version? Yeah. No, it's like Mario Kart except with Sonic characters.
It's like Mario Kart or like Crash Team Racing. Man.
Yeah, or Diddy Kong Racing. You played that back in the day.
Ooh. When are they gonna bring in Star Wars Racing? And it's like Anakin
Skywalker
in a car.
That's a good question. I'm really hoping that actually that the Disney Speedstorm, that Speedstorm actually adds like Star Wars characters. That's my hope. So far, Speedstorm seems to be going pretty well. So hopefully we'll see that because that'd be really cool.
So what are the announcements here? Another Borderlands game that nobody asked for.
Well, supposedly this one is more open world. But I don't necessarily know, like, because I guess like there was some mission structure in the previous ones, right? And that was probably a technical limitation more than anything else. But otherwise, it's just Borderlands. And it's like, well, okay, great. Like, I mean, I don't know. I have fun playing Borderlands with friends, but that's about it. Like, it's never really, like, gotten me. I know some people who love it, but, like, yeah, it's just never been.
Yeah, we played it from time to time, and we spent some hours in it, but we've never, like, gone from point A to point B completing everything, you know? It's not like we've 100%.
I don't think I've ever played. I don't think I've put in more than 2 hours in a Borderlands game, to be honest with you. And so my comments about it, I'm kind of poking fun at it, but I'm also kind of being serious. Like, is there a big Borderlands community? Because to me, Borderlands is one of those franchises that, like, it was a big deal. I mean, really, like I said, 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, even like 2010, right?
No, there's still people holding on. You know, honestly, there's a fairly big community. But
I feel
like
Borderlands
games.
Is like, it's like a cult franchise where the cult is like 49% of the population. Of gamers. I mean, maybe not that big, but that's a cult joke. I feel like the people who love Borderlands are very loud and very, like, active, very engaged with it.
Wasn't there a Borderlands
and
movie?
And didn't go see the movie. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was a bomb.
I'm pretty sure also that Randy yelled at the audience for it and blamed the audience for it doing badly, too. Randy Pitchford, the problematic spokesperson for Borderlands, Gearbox, all that jazz.
Here we go. Kevin Hart, Jack Black. Wow, it didn't do well. Jamie Lee Curtis. That's actually Kate Blanchett. That's actually kind of surprising to me that it didn't do well. It's a pretty stacked cast.
It wasn't a very good movie, like, apparently.
Well, it just goes to show you can have a stacked cast, and if you don't have a good script or whatever, I don't know. This is I haven't actually watched it firsthand, but this is what I've gathered. You know, and you can have some stellar actors, but, you know, you don't have the right direction. They can still be bad.
You know, I don't even know that I want to blame the script. I just think that Borderlands is a hard franchise to sell to.
Yeah.
Just period.
Could be.
Like, it, you know, am I wrong here? Wasn't, like, post-apocalyptic was pretty popular at one point. I feel like it's not currently the trend.
I would agree. Yeah. No, I would absolutely agree. I think we see that with, like, movies, like, that are legitimately actually good movies, like Furiosa. Not doing well too, you know, like, I mean,
yeah, it's definitely like I think it's more sci-fi these days. I mean, at least for me, I'm definitely more into sci-fi than post-apocalyptic world, you know? Now I was kind of wondering, like, well, I think for the people who hit, you know, who played Borderlands, if you liked it, again, we missed the wagon, I think all of us there, but there's some people who hit it and really liked it, you know, and jived with them. Man, I pulled that
it
out.
Could be the fact that, like, you know, when you live in a dystopic world, you know, you don't want to see what's coming next. Okay. You know,
I was going to make a comment like that, and I just knew. I was going to say, like, it hits a little too close to home nowadays. Man, talking about that.
But Fallout's okay. Interesting.
I was looking at this thing of the dystopian world of Interstellar, where, like, oh yeah, we don't need engineers, we need farmers, and like they run out of food. You know?
Oh sure. Yeah.
Oh man. You know, what year did that come out? Did that come out like 2014? Right? It could easily be a big problem.
Yeah,
right.
You start becoming too big and you forget about the you really need, right?
Some of the 2014. Yeah, and like, you know, technology and stuff. It's not like it's like cheaper and all that, but like food and that kind of stuff is
speaking of other like sci-fi properties, though, one other thing that was announced at the PlayStation showcase was the guys who did Until Dawn, Supermassive, and all those Dark Pictures Anthology games. Mm-hmm. They're doing another entry in the Dark Picture Anthology series called Directive 8020. That's like a sci-fi horror game. That's multiplayer.
Well, that's so it'll be like it.
Didn't it'll Dark be Pictures kind of like Until Dawn,
but like.
I thought they had like film they were working on or something like that.
I think they said they were working with somebody on something.
Yeah.
Like maybe Blumhouse? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it was. Interesting.
But, mm-hmm. And Until Dawn at sci-fi is something that I probably would actually play if anyone was willing to play it with me.
What was Until Dawn? I don't see. We talked about yesterday off the podcast gamer fatigue and how too many big games are coming out and there's too much expectations on the games and such. That's how I feel. I don't even know what Until Dawn is. Is that
that's familiar?
I've seen people stream.
It's an older game.
That was the Hayden Panettiere game.
Where they're like running. Yeah, I see it here.
Yeah, and then you have to like make choices or whatever, and like decide who lives or dies because of those choices.
Wow, a video game where you make choices and people live or die. You know,
it's almost kind of like Telltale. You know, I mean, except like realistic, like more. I don't know. Realistic graphics.
Not to be all doom and gloom, but what happened to Telltale? How did that go for them making those games?
I mean, they're back now, allegedly.
Are they?
We'll see.
Yeah. Apparently, at least
I'm still waiting for the Wolf Among Us 2.
Yeah,
I'm still waiting
out
for
there.
That one.
Yeah. That's still out there, man.
What about Game of Thrones 2? I actually liked their Game of Thrones game. What about that?
We've only heard the one title at this point. You know that they're we know for sure it's Wolf Among Us 2.
Yeah. I mean, like they overextended with all the licensing. You know. Like, they were doing so many licensed games that probably killed their finances. Hopefully they come back in a healthy way and, like, you know, don't overextend. Because I think that there's absolutely a place they filled in a, like, gaming, like, ecosystem that was, like,
everybody
not
loved those
really.
Games at some point.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many people I could talk to and say, you know, What do you think about, you know, Telltale? And they, I'm sure every single one of them would have at least one experience of a certain game that they like. Oh yeah, this one, you know. I think it was just like it was almost kind of a trend thing at one point. You had to play one.
So mine was playing Wolf Among Us. A little bit of spoiler, but also it's like the splash screen that comes up when you start the game. I missed the splash screen that explains the premise of it. So I went into it not knowing anything. And I'm like, oh, cool. You're like a wolf detective. Interesting. Okay.
He was like a wolf detective. Yeah.
Like, interesting. Okay. And then you start meeting all these other characters and they're all fairy tale names. And I'm like, wait, what? You're
trying. I can see you slowly unraveling the pieces. Yeah, like, this is wait a minute.
From Beauty all of a sudden, and the Beast. Like David's like Beauty is with Beast. Wait, yeah, like the wheels are turning.
That's when it clicked. That's when it clicked was like when they come back into the apartment complex when you first meet them and everything, and it's like, oh hey, Beauty, Beast, wait a second.
Yeah, all of a sudden, that one moment that changed everything.
Like, the mayor's assistant being named the deputy mayor, being named Snow, was, like, kind of interesting. But, right. Like, I didn't put it together until Beauty and Beast. Yeah.
Well, that's a kind of cool thing about the game. It's like...
But that was a really cool way to experience it, though, too, was, like not knowing the premise and everything, and, like, mm-hmm. have that, like, kind of hit as, like, a kind of, like, twist surprise thing. It's like... Oh, this is really neat. Like,
well, and they do it in such a way that it feels like kind of like it's very, kind of unique way they're doing it, but it's enough to where it's like so interesting. They're true to their character, but they're in this different way that you've never seen them before. So it's very interesting. It just changes the whole format, but it's also like, wait, what are they going to do? Are they going to be the same people that from the stories, or are they going to completely change, who you expect who you expect them to be, which is kind of fun too.
I still need to play the expansion Telltale game, actually.
That's on my list. I do too. Yeah, it's on my list.
I haven't played that one either. Yep.
There you go. We have our homework.
To eventually do.
Sometime in the next, year.
Probably not going to get in. I mean, it's one of those things that, like, I don't know that I want to play it unless I know there's going to be more. Unless I know that they, sure. like, wrapped it up. Because, like, all of the other ones,
you
the
don't
Wolf
get
Among
a series
Us.
That could be dead.
Well, yeah, like, I understand, wanting to support stuff that's, like, we were talking about this with books of, like, you have to support series that aren't finished. That's how they get finished. It's different when you know something's dead. Right. Like, yeah. And it's also different when that's part of their you can have a great time playing Titanfall 2, but Titanfall 2 doesn't end on a cliffhanger.
Right.
What I mean?
100%. Yeah.
At least as far as like the Game of Thrones Telltale game, which I liked, I keep bringing up that one. It didn't end closed. You know what I mean? Like still waiting for the next one.
You don't. Well, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. With the Wolf Among Us,
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, you're still waiting.
We're still kind of waiting, but at the same time, it's just like I enjoyed it so much. I wouldn't have gone back.
Thinking about? I keep on thinking about how great a Westworld game would be. Because I know they had that one VR game, but like even a Telltale Westworld game would be really, really cool. Well, especially if you had Nolan involved. Like
to go back farm too, as far as like really enjoying it, and so you would do it again. Yeah, but I'll enjoy a lot of games, and I can enjoy games that have a future. You know what I mean? Like, would you go and recommend someone to play Anthem?
I mean,
Why not?
I would recommend, but I would.
At least one time,
campaign's fine. Like it's not bad. Like it's worth the experience, I think.
Evolve?
Evolve, obviously not. No.
Yeah, would you recommend people to go back and play Evolve?
There's a different problem with that. And that was based around the whole some of the problems we still have is the whole ecosystem of having so much. Like you were saying earlier, there's so much out there, but so much of it wants to be live service, so they want to grab you. They want you to play multiplayer games and stay in those games.
Well,
and
Farmer and I actually have the perfect example for this, where I don't think either one of us would recommend someone play Suicide Squad when it comes down to it. Mm-hmm, even though we both really enjoyed it right up until the end, like the end kills it. It very much like Game of Thrones it,
streamed through this, through the whole thing up until the end. And I remember every single time we streamed up until that last stream, we were like, man, this is great. I don't know what people are talking about. And I know I said that. I know I said that for a fact. And if they wrap up this story, this is going to be amazing. What are people talking about? I really enjoy it, especially how fluid the co-op was and the mechanics were good. It felt like for the most part, a rock steady game. There were some things that felt a little repetitive, but for what it was, you just expect, oh, wow, this is not what people were saying. People were saying it's just a broken game. No, it was very, very nice and polished. But once you get to that last mission, you get it. The lights come on, and then all of a sudden you realize, okay.
It literally makes the entire experience like not worth it. It really does ruin the rest of the experience, which sucks because, yeah, like, I mean, like, when it comes down to it, there was a lot of Rocksteady polish on that game that will never get recognized for it.
Yeah,
you know?
A lot of pretty funny humor, actually. Like, the scripting was
well written. Like, yeah, the combat was fun. Like Farmer was saying, some of the activities were, like, kind of, like, repetitive. Like, your standard, like, oh, do this, like, side activity over and over to, like, gain more experience or whatever. But I mean, like, other than that, like, it was, like, pretty darned good right up until the end. And then and just ruins it. And it's like, well that
it's
really
interesting
sucks.
Because going back to, like, Anthem or something like that, I guess for me, I find it hard to recommend to someone to play a game that I know is not going to change at all when that was going to be a part of it, right? Like, you can play the Anthem campaign, and
like
that's
Anthem
it.
Was
and
even be live service, yeah.
And even that, right? Like, you're probably not going to play it with your friends. Yeah. You know, there are some missions that are kind of meant for you to play with people. You're probably not going to get people that you're going to be able to play them with. But then also, it's hard to recommend, like, people buy a full price game for something like that.
Well, yeah, you know? But I mean, like, Anthem, you can find in the garbage bin or for whatever for like $5, you know. I mean
if you find it that. I paid $60 for Evolve to play one time. I'm gonna keep bringing that. I paid
but that's
for that
back
game.
In the when it released, so now they don't have that problem. I will say though, there is a thing about recommending games on that level when people these days are very much expecting a game that they can sink their teeth into for a while. And I don't know how many people are actually out there who want to just play a single player experience and then leave the universe. Like, if they want to play a game, they might as well, you know, stay there. And I think that's a problem again with kind of where the gaming world is right now.
Right.
Not bad, but you know, it's like, how do we mitigate this? How do we go over these waters? Like, I don't know.
They're just part of it is there just needs to be less games too.
I thought someone was going to bring up Marvel's Avengers. And it's funny because I've thought about that game more because I've been playing Marvel Rivals so much.
Sure. Yeah.
Of
Shall
like,
we dust
oh
it?
Man.
Dust it off and retry.
You know, Marvel's Avengers. Yeah. Like, I mean, we, David and I fighting that one adaptoid, right? Over and over again.
That was such a good joke. Like, it really was.
Like, and the but that game, is it still going and they're just not repairing the servers? I don't remember even what happened to that game.
Like,
yeah, the servers failed.
The last thing they said was like, we're just not touching it anymore. So like, if it still works, it still works, but we're not touching it anymore. So I don't even know if it's still alive or not. I uninstalled, so I need to probably check on that at some point. But also, like, I don't know, it's one of those games that, like, the co-op kind of made it worth playing to an extent. Like, I mean, especially with, like, the way their revive system worked, which was really obnoxious. Yeah. Because, like, you know, like, if you're playing with AI, you only got, like, I think, what, 2 revives?
Yeah.
But if you're playing with other players, you got, like, infinite revives. So your friend just had to get you or something.
If he was paying attention and close by.
Yeah.
You know.
But I mean, like, just it being a difficult game and being a grind to, like, level up your character and everything, like, that just is not a fun game to, like, solo when it comes down to it at all. And moments with playing co-op are really cool because, like, you'll be like, there's moments of coolness, right? It's not cool all the time. I hate Destiny so much because Destiny ruined me for, like, the rule of cool, because you always feel cool in Destiny. Always. Even when you're doing bad, you always feel cool. But, like, with, like, games like Avengers, there's moments of cool, which kind of sort of make it worth it. But then there's a lot of not cool moments in between. Like, it's really, like, cool to be like Iron Man and see Hulk, like, slam into the enemy you were fighting or whatever, or like see, like, Black Widow, like, swing across, like, right in, like, behind you or whatnot, you know. I mean, that's cool. It's almost cinematic. You know, but I mean, like, and then you're just fighting these generic enemies and stuff, and, like, you know, spamming the same attack.
I think it's I really liked playing Thor in that game. I liked they did this thing where, like, you could throw the hammer and pin people with it.
Yes, that was a really cool thing. That's cool. Yeah.
It was a cool mechanic, and you used it a lot. There were a lot of cool things. But, yeah, you kind of came back to it. You know, it just felt the levels all felt the same, which is funny because Destiny, they are all the same. Or you're just playing the level backwards, like, so clearly. Like, yeah. But... I don't know. So much work went into those environments and stuff that
all the levels felt the same, generic. Unless you were low. Unless you were the low guy like me. Every time I came in and would just get, you know, smeared across like a pancake, and you know that was rough. And also, I don't know what it is. I can never find the things you guys found. Like, I don't know if it had to do with a whole level balancing thing. I don't know. But like when you guys are talking about like upgrading your materials and things like that. Uh-oh. I would never find anything or barely anything. And it was really frustrating. That's one of the reasons why I stopped playing that game.
I mean, I stopped playing
and you were bad at it. We talked about it.
We've talked about it. Are we talking about in Destiny? Farm? In Destiny or in Marvel Rivals?
We're talking about Marvel Rivals, Avengers.
Oh, I thought we were talking Avengers, about Destiny. Yeah. And I was just going to talk about my wonderful helmet that they nerfed, you know, I'm triggered again, you know, like I'm just mad.
They brought those Star Wars skins, and those Star Wars skins are really cool, and then I got the season pass and I regret it. Yeah.
They brought in, so you know what? I'm so tired of skins and I'm so tired of skins costing so much money.
Sure, I don't disagree with that. Yeah.
But each skin, I think, was like
$20, I think, literally. Yeah. Each skin was. Yeah.
And they're again trying to keep you in that same game. You know?
Well, and the thing is too, with the Star Wars skins, the thing that sucks with this particular one is like that they're not inspired by Star Wars. They're like straight ripoffs, right? And
they're not ripoffs, I'm sure they're licensed.
I mean, well, yeah, but I mean, like, they're like one-to-one, you know?
It's literally an Imperial Guard uniform,
a Stormtrooper uniform, and a Dark Trooper uniform. And, like, they're like one-to-one. They aren't inspired by, like, they did, like, with previous, like, crossovers. And I thought the crossover stuff was actually really cool when it was inspired by, because it's like, oh, hey, this is an artistic, like, kind of, like, take on what this would look like in this universe, you know.
But that's when Bungie actually, you know, was Bungie.
Had people that they didn't fire, or
yeah. Well, when they were in control more of it and able to actually put their stamp, their normal, you know, Bungie is Bungie, you know. But now you don't see it. Now you just see somebody filling in the gap with not the same passion or the vision, and that's why you probably get that.
Gaming is such an interesting thing. I saw this thing of like for our generation, like 10 years of gaming, and it showed 10 years ago, and then it showed, like, you know, from a certain point of view, and like just the huge leaps forward and stuff. And then it showed, like, for my son's generation, 10 years of gaming, and it's just Fortnite, and it looks the same, you know, Fortnite to Fortnite for 10 years versus like going from, you know, Halo 1 and the look of like the original Halo 1 to, you know, what's 10 years later. Halo 1 anniversary.
And then, like, another, like, a few years, and, like, the Halo 1 remake will come around, you know? So.
Yeah, yeah.
But, Dee, nothing else from State of Play before we lose track of time here? There's nothing else from State of Play?
That was, like, literally it. That was worth talking about? Like, I mean, like, it's kind of crazy, too, because, like, so Xbox had their, like, developer thing at the beginning of the month or whatever, right? Or was it this month or last month? I don't know. Time is like a river, right? The door is ajar. But, like, Xbox showed 5 games, and all 5 of them had, like, really good showings. All of them looked really fun. I was down with all of them. PlayStation showed, like, something like 15, 16 games, I think. Maybe, like, 12. But, like, literally not, like, maybe one, maybe two I would play, you know? And it's just, like, and one of those is a remaster. And it's, like, well, You know, I mean, like,
you've already experienced one of them, right?
You know? Like, what the heck? Especially when you're doing, like, a third-party thing, like, where you have, like, all these titles to pull, potentially. But my guess is that Sony is in save money mode, right? So they probably don't want to, like...
Which, why are they in save money mode when they're making so much money, I guess?
Well, because they're restructuring a ton. right? Because they just canceled a ton of live service games that they sunk money into after the disastrous results of Concord and all that. So, like, my guess is that, like, they had a lot of investment because, like, that's what you do. You, like, the thing that people forget about, like, money is that it's not always fungible, you know? Like, I mean, most money gets reinvested almost immediately. Like, the second you get it, you spend it, essentially. And, like, that's how businesses generally work.
And it's so it's not like usually instantaneous holding, like, either, right?
Right. It's not like they're holding, like, billions of dollars, like, in their bank account, usually. They're usually, like, putting that straight back into their business to try to make even more. And, like, so if those things fail, or if they have to cancel a bunch of them, that could potentially actually put them at risk, even though they were extremely profitable, you know?
And that's probably, like, what – I mean, they're investing 6 months to a year to even several years, even more than that. That's another thing we need to think about. It's not just like, oh, you know, that money came from last quarter and all of a sudden, you know, they're investing it. Also, they're restructuring from things that they've been doing for years upon years. Maybe they canceled. Maybe who knows? We just don't know.
Or I saw a graphic too of, like, they've had like six CEOs in the time that Phil Spencer's been in charge of Xbox.
Yeah.
Just a PlayStation. Like, that's wild. You know? Yeah. I mean, like, that's a lot of directional changes. I mean, because I'm pretty sure that, like, they've had a directional shift every single time that they've switched leadership as well.
I mean, you'd have to. You know, for sure. Yeah. Each person's usually different. That's just usually how it goes.
Right. Yeah.
David, you've experienced that one of the first party titles on Xbox, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm playing Avowed right now, which is actually really, really good. I'm really enjoying it. I'm only, like, a normal person's, like, 2 hours in, so for me that's like 8 or 9. But like,
wait. Are you talking about the Avowed? That's a day one for only certain Game Pass people, not all Game Pass people.
Yes, that would be the Avowed. That's day one for PC Game Pass and Game Pass Ultimate.
That's going to come to PlayStation pretty soon, you know, because, you know, we're not going to.
There has been no announcement of that yet, but probably yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, honestly, I want more people to play this game because it's actually really good so far.
Is it single player?
It's single player, yes. It's by Obsidian, who did Outer Worlds and Fallout New Vegas. Pillars of Eternity. And this is actually set in their Pillars of Eternity universe, which is kind of like Divinity Original Sin. It's like usually mentioned in the same breath by those players who, like, play those games a lot.
Which is interesting. I like what they're doing is, like, they're taking a different spin of the same universe. That's
right. Cool. Yes.
Wait, I'm really confused. Wait, what? Why is it mentioned, like, Divinity Original Sin? So I actually really liked Divinity Original Sin. I have no idea what you're talking about for this next one. I didn't play Outer Wilds because at the time it just felt like not Fallout, you know? And I don't particularly like Fallout either, so I just didn't get into it.
So essentially this is kind of like not Skyrim when it comes down to it, in the same way that Outer Worlds was kind of like not Fallout, but Outer Worlds has a very distinctive flair to it that, like, kind of like separates it from Fallout, and this has a pretty distinctive flair too. I mean, especially like visually, like, because as much as I love some Bethesda games, like, their aesthetic style for certain things, like character models, like, really not a fan. it's rough sometimes. Everything in this looks very pretty so far, except for, like, the water has some trouble sometimes.
And, all right, you need to clarify something for me now. Avowed is not a Bethesda game, right?
No, it's an Obsidian game.
Okay, I know, Obsidian, but you just said Bethesda games, and I just immediately just, like, I just noped out immediately because I agree.
Well, like, and that's... Well, that's the thing too. Like, I mean, like, I've not seen a ton of, like, jank that I'm, like, accustomed to in Bethesda games with this. But also it's a different experience too. Like, it's not like the way I described it to somebody else was like, so, but Bethesda games tend to be games where you can kind of do whatever, right? This is more like a game where here's this world, you can explore it. You can't, like, just shoot everybody in town. You can't, like, steal from everybody. You know, you can't, like, do whatever you want.
Maybe a little bit more narrative driven.
But you can, like, it's definitely more narrative driven. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also, like, because this is kind of based on their Pillars of Eternity, like, games, which are kind of like Divinity, like, there's certain carryovers that come from that. Like, when you want to make your camp, for instance, for crafting or whatever, it's very much like in Baldur's Gate, where it's like mm-hmm. almost like a separate thing, you know? And then you exit camp and you continue mm-hmm. on your journey, which is almost immersion breaking, but not really, because like it's like a place in the world that's like dedicated for that. And then when you step out of the circle, it becomes daytime. And it's like, okay, well, like it's not, it works somehow. But so far, having a blast with it. The combat's really fun. The story seems really interesting. Already, there's been some twists and turns that I was not expecting at all. And like, there's some pretty interesting companions that I've met along the way so far. So I'm looking forward to continuing that. And that's so far, it's cool. Like got like 8 out of 10, give or take.
Yeah.
Like pretty much. Some people have given it as much as like 9.5. So, I mean, like, you know, wow. Like,
apparently I really people like, are enjoying like it. What they're doing, you know, as far as, you know, just giving little nods, you know, with about like they're still in that same universe. So you get to see, like, again, like you get to see that crossover. Games that do that are going to the extra level to me. And I really like that. You know, again, I know I was kind of saying the opposite in a way, like, of course, you're going to have some games that you get burnt out, but like, staying in the same universe. I mean, I guess you guys know, huge Halo fan. If everything could be Halo themed, you know, Halo, part of the Halo lore, you know, I'd just stay in Halo all the time. And maybe I will in the future, who knows? But like just having these little nods and little cameos of things that you might have experienced in a different game, in a different style of a game in that universe is really cool. Especially them shifting it from, you know, more of a strategy game style RPG to more of action single player game, you know. Still probably like immersive role-playing game, but different, you know, not the same where you're controlling all the people. Yeah, I just think that's really cool that they can do that.
Right, yeah. I love when franchises do that, yeah.
I think it's funny that you brought up Halo, because that's actually one of the topics I wanted to talk about today, Farm. Are you aware?
Yeah, well, I heard.
Hang on real quick, because I just want to say Helldivers does a good job of that too. But yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Helldivers does a good job of what?
Of doing like a different like take on the same franchise, mm-hmm. like doing a different kind of game in that same universe.
Well, even comparatively to Helldivers 1 versus 2, like they totally
right.
shift
yeah.
completely.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Which honestly, I thought was going to be a failure. Like the trailer did not grab me at all. But like, oh gosh, they did such a good job. But yeah. No, like, I mean, I definitely want to see Halo do more of that too.
Yeah,
it's a big bummer though with Helldivers, because so I reinstalled it on my Steam Deck and I've tried to play it multiple times and I can't, it either crashes or it's unplayable. I've been reading online and it just seems that it's just gotten worse and worse and more intensive on PC since it came out, and like they've said they're going to try and fix it, but like they just don't, or like they haven't been able to. So it's a bummer. It's one of those games. I'd like to play it and I can't.
I should reach out to Hayden because he's been playing a bunch with him and
Dustberry on his Steam Deck?
Not a Steam Deck.
No, choice. I've been playing on Steam. So yeah, just, on Steam Deck specifically, it's only, but it's just...
Well, I wondered if it translated over because it was PC. You know, PC might still
They're playing on PC, like and I've seen stuff on PC too. It still runs, but I think it's just too much on the Steam Deck.
Mostly exclusive to the Steam Deck. Gotcha.
Yeah, most of the stuff there. It launched, honestly, during launch, it ran so well. I was surprised coming back to it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, coming back to it. So far, I've had lots of crashes, or I've just had, like, you know, I'm watching a slideshow kind of a deal.
My hope would be that, like, an update would just fix that. But, like, I mean, like, who knows when that update's going to come? Like, yeah.
I mean, maybe it'll come the same time, you know, Anthem gets an update. You know, maybe.
Oh, gosh. Somebody was just saying, somebody at EA was just saying, you know what, if there's one game I could bring back, it would be Anthem. And it's like, don't say that. Don't say that.
Yeah,
don't even tempt me.
Well, in those kinds of things, though, too, it's hard for me now. I kind of feel like, you know, hoping for updates to fix stuff, like, I just would rather just not.
Yeah, no, that's stupid. Know? That is dumb, yeah. Especially when you don't know when that update might come or whatever, and, like, yeah.
I mean, I've heard that Cyberpunk's a great game now.
It's a fantastic, you know? Well, yeah, yeah.
That's what I've heard.
That's the whole thing, yeah.
I've heard that I could go back to it, and it's like a totally different game and like way better. Like, but that kind of stuff really is weird to me and bothers me.
Sure. So,
I don't know. So, it makes me wish, it's like one of those things that I wish I didn't early support it, right? Like, if I didn't buy it when it came out and put like 30 hours into it and then have like a game breaking issue, maybe I could have bought it now and really enjoyed it the same way that I bought and really enjoyed Ghost of Tsushima years later, right?
Although, to be fair, with Ghost, I think Ghost came out like pretty solidly. Maybe right, not on no, PC, but, though. But yeah.
But in, not to say that Ghost didn't come out solidly, but like my experience of it is really different. Like sure. having not yeah. got it at launch and such, right? As like right. if I would have bought Cyberpunk the same way that I never played it, I heard there were issues, I never played it, I got it, it would have just worked. And it would have been interesting, well, you know? It would have
and
been
you would have had lower expectations too, because like the hype was insane for that game when it first came out. Like, yeah.
Well, anytime you sink like 30 plus hours and you have to start over, there's already, you know, a deterrent. I honestly, for me, I'm right there with you, Johnny. I'm not going to go back most likely unless it's just really, I'm really invested in that universe. But again,
which we're not.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not.
So right. it's,
and I didn't have that problem. I was able to go through it, but man, I feel you. You know, I totally get it. I probably would have been the same. I've been like, you know what? I got other things to do. I'm not going to waste another 30 hours.
30 hours? Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. But as we teased a little bit earlier, Netflix has picked up Halo.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard this week.
It has picked up distribution for Halo in some markets, it says.
Yes. Yeah, nice. Seasons 1 and 2, I think. Yeah.
Which, have they announced which markets it's coming to?
I'm pretty sure U.S., but other than that, like, no. But, like, I mean, you know.
Well, so they picked up that. Did they say anything? I didn't read anything more, like, as far as them actually going forward with it.
So they picked
I guess
it up
maybe
for
they'll just wait and see.
There's been nothing greenlit in terms of, like, a season 3 or anything.
No.
Right, like, but probably just one of those things where, okay, let's see who is interested in it. If we have enough people interested in it, then maybe.
Exactly.
But my thing, if Netflix gets, you know, has it, Can you reset? Can you please just reset?
Yes, like literally just so many, like, and there's so many people in agreement with this. This might be the great unifier of, like, the Halo fan base. Like, the sprinting tore us apart, but a reset of Halo might bring us back together. Because, like, literally everyone is just like, you know what? Like, let's just use the same assets, but just start the story from scratch.
Yeah.
Because, like, all those assets were pretty good. Like, I mean, you know,
yeah, the base that they had was fairly good, but how they chose,
like,
to
all the visual stuff and everything, all the names of things, like, I mean, like, that was all good. Like, just recast,
usually it's just
rewrite.
Yeah, it's mostly just how they use the characters, you know. It's just like,
are you saying that you want to get rid of Master Cheeks? Is that what you're saying, Dean?
Oh yeah, yes. in a big way.
Well, that actor just wasn't, like, necessarily right either. I mean, from
I had nothing wrong with the actor.
Else.
The problem is again, they portrayed him like a John instead of a Master Chief, and not a great John. You know, like, arc breaking in my opinion. Again, Silver Timeline. I get it. But at the same time, it's like he's not even the same guy. Not even the same.
But
John.
Yeah, like, literally. Well, and my other thing too, like, just like the Solo movie, just call him anything else.
Yeah,
like anything.
He was
else.
Literally
Spartan 118. Boom. Yeah. There you go. You know?
Spartan 119. 120.
Spartan 118, Jonathan.
123.
Yeah.
1,
Johnny.
2, 3 ABC. I don't know.
Yeah, Johnny. Johnny. I haven't seen it, right? I wonder if it's gonna come to Netflix Japan. I don't think I'm gonna watch it, but I will say this. So the hope here in this article is they're like, oh, if there is interest and it does well, Netflix could maybe, like, do a season 3 and carry it forward, but I don't know that that's what people want.
No, I don't. I mean, a lot of people I've talked to that don't know anything about Halo says, hey, it's really good. But any of the fans I've talked to, you know, they're either trying to just, you know, let it lay or trying to like just push it off as the silver timeline. But what they're really feeling inside, I know, you know, they don't like it. They don't love it. They can't love it. How could you?
It's crazy too, like to see Paramount like going downhill this fast. I mean, it was bound to happen with all these different streaming services, but like Paramount like shedding weight like crazy is kind of insane. Because this was one of their, like, this was going to be their flagship, right? Like,
that, one of their flagships. Between that and Star Trek and maybe, like, a few Westerns. That
and I think they'll hold on to Star Trek as long as they can. But, like, everything else, I think, is kind of, like, open season. Like, kind of like, yeah, we're willing to sell this for, like, a few dollars.
Yeah, the fans really came after us on this one. I don't know why. We really delivered really well on this, and they still hated it.
Well, and you know, I mean, what else? I've not seen it. But nothing I've seen from it makes me want to see it, too. As a Halo fan, I've been a Halo fan the whole time, right? There's nothing about it that I'm like, oh, man, I don't feel like I'm missing out having not seen it, you know?
Right. It really doesn't add to the overall universe. I mean, again, it is... The story is very much silver timeline, and you can imagine how they, you know, take the liberty.
Keep saying that, man. What were we talking about, D, that we were like, this is perfect that they did this? Oh, it's the, out of the 14 million possibilities, this is the only one that worked. Silver timeline, that's another one.
Yeah.
That's another one that, like, you could be like, but he's not actually like this. And they're like, hey, it's the silver timeline. He's not the same guy.
That's the only reason it works. It's like, okay, but I guess that's you know, bringing us back to the whole remake of Halo. That's one of my concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Is that that's not going to be silver timeline anymore. That's going to be origin story, and I hope they don't mess with it.
And they make John annoying.
I had a good idea for that. What if they leaned more into the horror part of the Flood?
Or I even go back a little really bit further, you know? Like,
well, I think you need to have the Flood in a Halo remake. I think you do.
Of course.
Obviously. You can't
like not. I don't know how much further back you can go without losing that, you know, because that does take place like a good halfway through the game, give or take.
Right. But if they could like tie in, I don't know. I mean, there's so many different pieces that you could pull in from the books, you know.
Sure. That's games, true. You
know, so,
yeah.
But I mean, like they've like, well, Bungie, I guess 343, not necessarily, but Bungie has said like they don't really necessarily care about the books that much.
Yeah, but that was so, but like, Bungie. I don't know.
So like the whole thing that's Halo been interesting Studios to me totally about different. Halo is that they, you know, the Covenant is this group. So if you read Contact Harvest, right, the Covenant is this group of aliens working together that are being basically run by the prophets or what, or like the Sanshum or whatever they're called.
Mm-hmm,
and the whole war against the humans is because it undermines their religion and their control. Right. That's it.
Right. They realize that humans are actually the ones that are supposed to take over the mantle and all that.
Exactly. Cause like of the stuff left by the Forerunners and like how they detect the objects and what they, and it's even just like what they've built around the objects, right? What they've built around all the stuff. What they say it is now, like it reads humans a certain way and recognizes them, not them. And so they basically destroy all of that evidence and declare war on the humans. That's why the humans aren't allowed to join the Covenant. Otherwise, they would just be allowed to join, right? Like everyone else has been allowed to join.
Yeah, you would think so. But again, like, it has to do super with
interesting. Would they want to, though? You know, I mean, like, yeah. Well, that's
would they want to?
Thing.
I think
like, how many races can they control at that point?
At the beginning?
They're already having trouble.
Yeah, if there wasn't a war at the beginning, I could have seen something of that, of like, oh, we can get this technology and get the support from these, you know what I mean? Like, but right from the beginning, it was really frosty because of how it affected who was controlling the Covenant already. That is super interesting. Like, that kind of intrigue, that would be really cool for them to kind of visit. Halo starts toward the end of the Covenant War. Right, we're losing. That's the whole thing. And then it's actually like the discovery of the Flood and like the refocus of the Covenant and all of that stuff that lead to like the humans having victory eventually. And like the use of Halo rings and such. It's just it's super cool. Like there's a lot there. There's a lot there for a good show somewhere, you know. Jonathan Nolan, if he took it, I'd be happy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I think he's a little too busy though.
Oh man, Fallout Season 2, let's go.
Yep.
I haven't watched it yet, but there was a trailer for Wheel of Time Season 3 as well.
I was just going to bring that up. Yeah, like the I did see the trailer and it looked pretty good. It looked pretty good.
I didn't see it. I still haven't watched Rings of Power Season 2. You know, still haven't gotten around to it. Haven't watched the time.
Link was in it, and that had me very happy because I kind of have a crush on Elaine a little bit.
I'll get back to you when I watch season one.
The character.
Okay.
Yeah.
She was in season two a little bit.
Was she? Well, yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited. But yeah, you guys got any closing comments before we wrap up? The future of gaming, not super excited for the stuff that's been announced, at least at the, what is it? Not the Nintendo Direct. What do they call it? State of Play?
PlayStation State of Play, yeah. I mean, but, like, hopefully they have another trailers showcase. Because, like, they have all these properties they claim to have been working on, and they couldn't have all been live service. So hopefully they have something to announce later this year. Xbox looks to be having a really strong year, but, like,
yeah,
I don't know how I'm going to find time to play it all.
That's the kicker. Well, Daniel was talking about a game we haven't mentioned tonight, Monster Hunter Wilds.
At the State of Play, actually, but, like, it was, I don't know, like, Monster Hunter trailers are weird sometimes because they aren't necessarily great trailers, but the game is fantastic.
They do, you know, that,
like, they do some of the trailers are just, like, a bunch of, like, quick cuts of, like, different, like, combat and everything, and it's, like, okay,
or
like,
go right into,
I get that there's a new monster
thing
there, but, like, yeah, like, I mean,
at the end, where they're all eating, and, like, they've always had that,
yeah,
like, I don't know, maybe people really like it who play the game, but, like, on me, on the other hand, it's like, I don't understand, and that's kind of where I stand. I'm like, what's going on? What's with all the cooking? I mean, I don't know. I guess you just have to know it. I guess that's what they're trying to hope for when they're doing, you know, their ad. They're like, okay, we're bringing in all the players that played this before.
Yeah.
I don't know. But once you play it, it's really good.
But that does come out, like, really, really soon, though, too, which is really exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, you guys know what to do. Make sure to give us a thumbs up or, you know, rate us or do all those things, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Get out of here, Craig.